This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios, and this week, we're talking with Snafu Brewing Company. I'm Tim Dennis, and with me, as always, is my good friend and glassware connoisseur, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim. Joining us today, we have Scott Kuhn, the owner and head brewer for Snafu Brewing Company. We're going to talk about Snafu's journey, upcoming releases, and extremely creative fruited sours, including one inspired by Elvis. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Excellent, man. Good times. Well, you know what? I want to start with a shout out here. We want to give a shout out to Jason Murphy, because he connected. He spoke very highly of you, Scott, when he did his article, 50 Beers, you know, 50 States. He was a very big fan of your beers there. That article on Porch Drinking. So Jason was going to try and join us this week. He was going to try and join us, but couldn't make it. So maybe next time. But thanks, Jason, for the connection.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this conversation. Yeah. He's a good dude. He's all right.
He's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's watching now. He probably is.
Maybe he is. We'll see. He's with us.
In spirit.
He emailed me and said he was waiting for 8 States samples when we sent our stuff. And I was like, oh, why am I even bothering to send anything into this guy? You know, and then I was very surprised.
See, he got on it, man. Yeah, he got on it there. Good stuff. Well, Scott, you know, we want to ask you something here. This is something certain people have strong opinions on. Other people have no opinions on.
Yes.
But glassware. We wanted to talk to you about beer glassware. And this is prompted by... Brian has been having a conversation on Twitter about some certain glassware, and certain people are very opinionated in one direction or another about glassware. But Scott, are you familiar with the bodega glass?
I am not, but I'm very interested to learn about
it. All right. Brian, you want to fill us in on this fancy glass?
So I don't know a ton about it. I discovered it while interacting with people on Twitter, looking at pictures. And I guess Michler made this form of glassware very popular. It's bodega glass. It's the one I have right here is a 17-ounce deal. It doesn't look like it. It looks like a pint glass that somebody sat on, but instead of it shattering, it's squished. So it's shorter and wider. And people swear by it being a great glass. So I don't have a lot of specifics as to why some people cite the form factor or the thinner glass compared to a pint. You were saying you think that there might be more of an aroma component to it because there's a wider opening, perhaps.
Yeah.
Though theoretically, the top of the glass is supposed to be about the same width or diameter as your regular pint glass. So we've been sitting here sipping against the tulip and, you know, comparing the tulip pours versus the bodega glass pours. And I've done a little research leading up to the show, but the guys here are trying it out, I think, for the first time.
So yeah, and, exciting. Know, now that I look, it's just that the glass is wider where a regular pint glass narrows.
Exactly.
To the bottom. This one does not. So... I mean, okay, I'm not opposed to it, Brian, but you said you actually thought it improved there, right?
In the beers that I've had out of it, I think that the flavor is noticeably, I want to say, more open or more apparent to me. And I think aroma from the wider surface area as opposed to a tulip is part of the reason for that. I felt like I tasted in the various double dry hopped IPAs I was drinking at. More of the fruit, you know.
Okay.
And comparing it to the two beers I've just had here, a little bit in each one, I think it's the carbonic acid. There's the carbonation component to it, too. I think a lot more carbonation escapes a lot faster out of the bodega glass than it does out of the tulip. And I think that is altering the flavor, which means I think this glass isn't ideal for all beers, but it is great for some, especially those fruity IPAs.
So. Scott, what do you think? Is Brian full of it or is he onto something here?
No, you know what? When he said it's shorter and wider, I like that because I'm shorter and wider.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. We sell a lot of flights at our brewery, and I hate watching people drink a little tiny beer because when they put it to their mouth, their nose is on the backside of the glass. So they're really smelling the backside of the glass. I like a glass where we can get your nose inside of it.
That's a good point, especially on like the little tulip tasters or... or that, because it tapers up there. So you're not going to get your nose in that glass.
You need an oblong glass that allows their nose to be over the beer the entire time. So sip it with it.
Yeah. Just a crazy, like a nose shaped glass.
Exactly, a nose shaped glass. That's exactly what you need.
Do you have a favorite glass? Do you go different glasses, different beers, or do you have a multi-purpose glass?
Yeah, just the OG pint glass. Yeah, and then tulip glass sometimes if I want to take a fancy picture. But yeah, I'm a simple beer drinker for the most part.
Okay. We like to play around with glassware here. We have, I think, one that looks like a barbell.
Yes.
And we have a couple that look like mushrooms. I have a skull. I have a crystal skull. And
there's a boot over there, too.
A boot. Yeah. Das Boot. So It's fun to play around with the different glasses.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is go to the Goodwill and buy $1, glassware. Sure. That's absolutely insane.
Yep.
I think I've drank some beers out of some candle glasses,
Yeah, he's got the votive cup. That's his favorite glass,
That's a votive. That isn't even a beer glass. Hey, you know, anything can be a beer glass.
But there's, you know what, Scott? Yeah. Great pro tip for people. I don't think they think about heading to the thrift shop for glasses, but there is just a ton of cheap glasses and some nice ones there. So it's a great place to pick up miscellaneous glassware.
I agree.
And we use that random weird glassware for Instagram a lot, just for something new.
Yeah, that was actually why we got some of ours. We like, this would be fun for pictures here.
That makes a lot of sense. I've wondered where breweries, and like, I've never seen that type of glass in that brewery ever before, but all of their Instagram pictures are these interesting globular, very tall or very round things that, like, very highly impractical and never would fit into a professional dishwasher.
Like one that's just totally round. The opening, like drinking out of a fish bowl with the opening the size of a Coke bottle top.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I've seen that right up to the boss pour, right up to the top.
Makes good pictures, though.
Yeah, got to go there.
It does. The boss pour. Ban the boss pour.
Well, Tim, I think it's time for us to get into the beers of the week.
Brian, as always, great list of beers to get into here. Thank you to Snafu Brewing Company. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, y'all, for sending us some really tasty beers. We cannot wait to dig into even more of them. We are currently in their Primo Golden Ale right now. We've got a line of sours. We've got a Watermelon Jolly Rancher Sour. We have a Stoned Age, which is a Fruity Pebble Cereal Sour. They pontooned it.
Yeah, they did.
They pontooned it, yeah. And then is this Strawberry Squared Nesquik Sour?
Yeah, Strawberry Squared.
All right, man. It's the fun break.
Strawberries, Brian, on strawberries.
It sounds like a lot of lactose for you, Brian. You better take your pill.
I got a whole box of them over here, I'll be taking that.
And as always, thank you to our friends at The Nest for sponsoring our beers of the week, craft beer and barbecue downtown Kennesaw, Georgia. If you're in the area, check them out. You will not be disappointed. Brian, you got time to share a news story with us?
I think we got some time for that. So the one thing you can count on with social media, in addition to interesting glassware, is scandal. And the scandal of the week appears to be Adroit Theory Brewing's announcement of their, quote, Murder Box variety pack, which features beers named after serial killers and also features their likenesses on cans. We're talking about people the like of Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy here. So much response that I've seen to the announcement features language I can't really repeat here, but a number of people have pointed out that these villains aren't just guilty of being murderers. They've done some other really heinous acts as well, like rape, pedophilia, etc., cannibalism, all that kind of crazy stuff. The last I checked, there really wasn't any response from the brewery. I think they took down one post on one of their social media accounts, and the others are still up there inciting rage. So
yeah, I think they took down the main one that was advertising the Murder Box, but then later on, didn't they tweet something?
They did.
About like a bonus beer or something
Ramirez,
like that.
Which I think was one of the ones in there, and I don't even know which killer that is, but I'm sure he's a really great guy.
Did you see this, Scott? Did you see this go down?
No, I did not.
All right. Have you ever put any serial killers on any of your beers?
You know what? It's funny that, we're talking about this right now because we do a lot of cereal beers.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maureen, our taproom manager, is a murderina. She loves that stuff. And she's always, we need to come out with a serial killers variety pack. And that we've not gone through with that one yet. So
see, you can thank Adroit Theory because they let you know what the public would say if you did that. So
they field tested it for you. Yes. The answer is don't do that.
I remember a cheesy joke that my cheesy uncle told me one time. He's like, hey, did you hear about the murderer going around town? He's like, I'm like, no. He said, yeah, they are finding people with a banana in their bum and they're facing a bowl of milk. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, they think he's a serial killer. And with that, we've got to wrap it up. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we will be right back with more from Snafu Brewing.
It's great to see our community coming back to life. The cold weather is fading away, and it's time to enjoy the greatest patio in Kennesaw. Join us at The Nest and spend some time with family, have a beer with a neighbor, or simply celebrate the end of another day. Make a reservation at thenestkennesaw.com for Sunday brunch and enjoy an overloaded Bloody Mary. At The Nest, you'll find smiling faces, great barbecue, and 48 taps of local craft beverages. Don't forget, our outdoor space is perfect for your four-legged best friend. We look forward to seeing you soon at The Nest.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on The Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to Snafu Brewing Company.
Scott, we just opened one of your beers here, a Watermelon Jolly Rancher Sour, and I imagine this name tells us what we're getting from this beer, correct?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we try to do cute names, other times we just try to say what it is, you know.
Do you run into any issues using the name the name Jolly Rancher in your beer? Has there ever been a problem with that, or do they kind of look the other way?
You know, not yet, I'll say that.
Not yet.
I'm waiting. I am waiting, though.
Hey, man, a cease and desist is a great marketing tool. You know,
absolutely
right.
It's like winning an award at one of the competitions. Just frame it, gold frame, and put that right on the tap room.
Use stone in the name of one of your beers, because man, that's going to get you all kinds of publicity.
Yeah, stone.
Use stone; it'll get you good marketing. But this is tasty. So, Scott, tell us a little bit more about this beer.
I just want to mention the Primo, the Golden Ale. You know, I sent that as a curveball. Just we get known and pigeonholed as the sour brewery. Yeah, the Golden Ale is something that's probably my favorite beer at the brewery. You know, just a beer flavored beer. So we can do other things, but the sours. You know, you come to the brewery, we always have about 10 to 12 sours on draft, and then a few can options as well. So this is obviously one of our canned sours that we have right now. And it's kind of our normal base sour, and it's just conditioned on watermelon puree, watermelon Jolly Rancher slushy mix, and marshmallow fluff or creme, as I believe the can says.
So when you say conditioned on, what happens there? You spend some time specifically aging on those ingredients, or...
So, you know, when we first started doing sours at Snafu, I kind of was doing them the way I've done sours at the other breweries I've worked at, which is you add the fruit whilst actively fermenting, and you ferment all of the fruit sugar. Now we do it the exact opposite way. You know, once it's done fermenting, crash the beer down to 32 degrees, let it sit, get all the yeast out, then add all of your adjuncts. That way you kind of retain as much flavor from the adjuncts as possible.
Does that
matter? That's what we call conditioning.
Okay.
Okay. And I think one of the big things with the heavily fruited beers that we always hear about is making grenades, basically. You know,
absolutely.
Does the process that you're using, does that help minimize that risk?
You know, I think it does help minimize it. And what we're doing is probably fairly similar to what most of the other guys are doing as well. For us, really the biggest thing we do is I get all of our canned beers tested for any sort of spoilage, bacteria and all that, just to make sure it's a completely clean beer. And that really helps out a lot.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was thinking. Get it in there nice and clean. Don't give it a lot of stuff to feed on if you're putting a ton of fruit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just saw somebody on Untappd rate one of our cans, a beer like this, that's about a year, maybe a year and a half old, and they still liked it. So
that's a good sign.
Apparently if it's kept in the refrigerator, it'd be all right for quite a while.
That is a good sign. So you don't do any kind of pasteurization or anything either, because it seems like that might be something that, I don't know if that would harm the flavor, though. For some people, it does, I think.
You know, I've done a lot of testing on that, and I've kind of figured out what works for us. It just, we aren't doing that now. Our distributors are always asking us, can we get one of these? You know, most of our distribution beers draft, and they're always asking for cans. And to me, it just seems like a nightmare, a heat pasteurizing. And then, you know, it goes and sits on a convenience store shelf for 6 months. You know, it's just that's not the game we're trying to win or play. You know, we just can small amounts and get it out fresh.
I think that breweries should start doing cans where they put, do you know the aquarium thermometers that like stick on the side of the aquarium?
Oh, yeah.
Put
yeah,
that on your can and mark like mark the point where it gets too hot, where it's like going to blow. So people can look. It's like buy before right here on the thermometer. It's
got,
mark there.
You got a little bomb on the side of it. It turns red. Yeah. Like, oh, don't touch that one. That's dangerous.
Which I think would just be great for beer marking if people knew that it was going to explode. When
the beer stores
point.
Have a like an explosive suit in the back. They got tongs to remove it from the shelf when it hits a certain temperature.
Exactly.
That would be great.
It's such a good idea. I'm surprised nobody's done that yet. It kind of reminds me of Coors Light when the Rockies get blue, your beer is cold.
There you go. That's it.
Remember exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
There's so much potential out there with labels. I saw recently where they had a fancy name for it, but they've done something where like a printed label or something can have a moving image on it. It's like a GIF, but maybe more like one of those prism things where it's just like two or three things.
Is it like the old cover of the National Geographic that had the, you could look at it from a couple different angles?
No, I think this was actually some kind of like display with animation. I'd have to look it up. But anyhow, I'm sure it would cost you $100 and to do that right now, but maybe do as an NFT, Brian.
There you go.
Scott, did you do CBC this year? Brian said, you know, doing some of his research and follow up that NFTs were a hot topic.
They have been
at CBC this year. So how are they talking about using them with beer, Brian?
Well, there's a lot of it seems to me to be very kind of mug-ish type of thing. You get special pours, you get special access. It's supposed to quote unquote build community. Unclear to me how it does that, but the one nice difference between the NFTs and just like a regular mug club is it's not just written down on a sheet of paper. That thing, and if you wanted to trade your membership off, you could definitely do that or sell it or whatever. So that's where it's mostly going. And the big player right now who's been pushing it, I think, the hardest is probably Goose Island.
That makes sense. Sure,
they had their I think it was $499 for their NFT, and they actually dropped it $100 because NFTs have kind of tanked.
They're tanking already,
as have cryptocurrencies in general, I think, across the board. So it's an interesting time. I think there's people are cautiously optimistic that there's something here. I'm unsure that there's
now
something
is
here.
The time to swoop in and get that $700,000 monkey for like $32.
That's right. You know what? If it really is only $32, I'd buy it just because.
Just to get that. So we were talking about Scott. I did see a brewery one time, Scott, that did like, I think it was a custom beer and maybe some custom labels. So you got the person bought the NFT that gave them the rights to the artwork that was used on the label. And then you got some custom beers and stuff with it. So are you into NFTs and cryptos and all that, Scott?
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. I am probably the most technologically, you know, I'm 35, but I have the soul of a 85-year-old.
Grandpa Scott, he's not into those NFTs.
Well, 85-year-old that can brew, you know, fruited sours and like these. Yeah, very creative.
He's a cool grandpa, right? Yeah.
Even our brewery, the way we're set up, it's very analog. You know, our brew house is old enough to legally drink its own beer, and most of the buttons on it are 86. You know, it's got one button that works.
And it still brews good beer, so there's no need to replace it, right?
No, I love it. Yeah.
See, exactly, man. Sometimes if it ain't
broke.
You
learn how to brew on it, it's like driving a car or something. It brews a specific way.
Yeah.
If you introduce new equipment, you have to get used to that new equipment.
Sure you
do. No matter how high-tech it is, it's going to do something different, and the flavor will be off. You'll have to spend time dialing that back in, and who knows? You might never get the flavor back because you may never be able to replicate what the old system did.
Even on our homebrewing system with them little 5-gallon batches, small changes would make a big difference
in what absolutely.
We did there. So it's something. But this, I'm enjoying my watermelon Jolly Rancher. And like Brian said a little bit earlier, Scott, I really like the refreshingness of that white part of the rind, like before you get into the heart, like right where the watermelon ends and the rind begins. And I kind of get a little of that essence in here, along with the watermelon hit and the creaminess.
High on the river.
And now that you're saying that, I had a customer the other day say that it almost tastes like cucumber. And I think that's kind of what he was trying to say. Okay. It had that kind of rindy flavor to it.
Yeah. You know what? That I could see how you'd say that is cucumber. Because it does take, I never thought about it, but yeah. cucumber
and watermelon mixed together. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Along with some notes that say Jolly Ranch to me, there's a certain candy quality to that as well.
It's good stuff. You know what? We need to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the origins and history of Snafu Brewing Company. The most award-winning brewery east of the Mississippi has come to Atlanta. Iron Hill Brewery and Restaurant is now serving in Dunwoody at Perimeter Mall and in Buckhead on Peachtree near Phipps Plaza, serving a variety of menu items from a completely scratch kitchen plus craft beer brewed 10 feet from your table. You have to try their cheese steak egg rolls paired with a signature craft beer. Iron Hill Brewery and Restaurant, serving Atlanta in Buckhead and Dunwoody. Drop in today or make a reservation or place a pickup or delivery order at ironhillbrewery.com.
Brian and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys radio show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys radio show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, WSLW, 1310 AM in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Catch Beer Guys radio on WSLW every Sunday at 9 PM. Let's get back to Snafu Brewing Company.
Scott, because we never do things that make sense here, we figured the middle of the show would be a good time to talk about the origins of Snafu Brewing Company. But,
yeah, absolutely.
So the name, I think a lot of us probably know Snafu and that, but what prompted you, what inspired you naming your brewery Snafu?
I think most people know the acronym Situation Normal All Fouled Up. That's the PC version.
Right, the nice version.
My name is also Scott, so it works with Scott Normal All Fouled Up as well.
Okay.
I don't know. When we were thinking of names of breweries, that one just kind of stuck with me. I think we threw a lot of names around. Specifically, you know, we're on a beach town, so there's a lot of beach-themed breweries, bars, Charleston-themed things. I didn't want to be Charleston-themed, you know.
Sure. Okay.
That was the big thing for me, really.
Okay. Good enough there. And what prompted you to start a brewery?
I am a career professional brewer. It's what I've been doing as my job since I was 21 years old. And I was that kid that was home brewing in my parents' kitchen when they would go out of town for the weekend. So it's it's just kind of what I always wanted to do, you know, and moved down to Charleston, was a head brewer at a couple breweries, and then finally decided to just open up my own brewery one day.
Now, am I correct? You brewed at Westbrook for a while?
Yeah, I was a head brewer at Westbrook for a little while, and I was also a head brewer at Freehouse Brewery.
Okay. Are you responsible for Westbrook Goza?
No. I'm not going to take credit for that, but I was head brewer while we were, you know, making that beer. So definitely, I'm just grateful to have gotten to be there and kind of, you know, experience that whole process, because there wasn't a lot of information about, you know, kettle sours. When we were putting it in a can, it was like, can you even put a sour beer in a can? Like, is that okay to do? You know,
that's a good point. As an example a lot, that it kind of set the bar for what a lot of Americans, especially Americans in like the Southeast, expect out of a Goza. And, you know, if you know Leipziger Goza,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near as intense as Westbrook's was. Westbrook's, you could strip paint, you know, dissolve teeth, whatever you needed to do with it. But I've heard so many people that have started with that beer then when they have another Goza that is a little lighter, they're like, well, this isn't sour enough. This isn't sour enough. And it may be more true to style. But yeah. Westbrook messed them up, man. They messed people up for what they expected
when
it goes.
Yeah, you know, and I will ditto what you just said. When we were making that beer, I'd go around and try as many, you know, German Gozes as possible, and just nothing tasted remotely like it. Like,
yeah.
You know, nothing was sour enough.
You know, and at that time, sour was the hot thing. So more sour, it was kind of like the IBUs the IBU back wars, prior to that.
Right, right.
More, yeah. more. So while we're on the topic of Westbrook, were there any beers there that you do take credit for, out of curiosity?
I think just brewer etiquette now. You know, I'm just grateful that I got to be there. And really, you know, I think it was my experience there kind of was a huge stepping stone to get to own my own brewery one day, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
One of our homebrewing accomplishments is that we did a clone version of Mexican Cake. And a lot of our friends said they liked it as much and or more. Scott, check it out, or more than the original Mexican Cake. And
nice, so, heck yeah, that's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, we didn't even pay them for that compliment either.
Not most of them, but no. But seriously, we were pleased. It was good. We enjoyed it, and it took us a while. We had to borrow another mash tun because ours wasn't big enough to do the beer.
Got it. Yeah,
and I think
those big stouts, those are double mashes a lot of times.
Yeah,
and I think that might have been the years that Mexican Cake was actually very hot. It came out like really amped up on the heat. So I think we may have had a little bit of an unfair advantage in that ours was not super hot, but had very similar flavor. I think we nailed it pretty well.
Those are great flavors, and I've learned that heat. You know, it's like some people want their face melted off, and then other people are, you know, they want. No, they want it mild as possible. So it's just one of those things. It's almost, you can't please everybody with it.
Well, I remember looking at the reviews for Mexican Cake, and people would say, this isn't as hot as last year. It needs to be hotter. Yeah. This is too hot, you know? So can't, like you said, Scott, you just can't please everyone. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Indeed. So you started really early with brewing. You said you're a career, but I think I read that you started actually homebrewing in high school. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. You really don't see a lot of people doing it that early. We've had a few on that have started that early, but a lot of times it was like, oh, college buddies. We got into it in college.
You know, one of my my sister, who's a bit older than me, she dated the head brewer of Four Peaks out in Arizona. I forget what year that was. That was the late 90s. So I remember I was a middle school kid listening to the quote unquote brewmaster talk about beer. You know, and I was like, oh, you can make beer for a living. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not fit to do anything else. This is what I'm going to do.
Eighth grade people are like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to brew. Yeah, I'm going to brew beer. I'm going to make beer.
So peace out, guys. I'm brewing.
Good luck with all your going to space stuff. I'll be down here making beer. So
yeah, I remember senior year of high school, there was like a philosophy of life paper we had to write. And so what do you want to do with your life? And they would not let me write about being a brewer.
See, lame.
There's nothing. Lame. Well, you know, they were uptight back then. Still
kind of uptight with this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Kind of.
That's Scott talking about Charleston in general, where being in Atlanta, it's always an area that when someone says, where can I go for a nice weekend? Go to Charleston. Good food there, good scenery, southern in Charleston. How's the brewing scene there? How's beer doing in Charleston?
You know, it is, I can't even tell you how many breweries we have now. I think it's 40. You like beer, and you like drinking beer, Charleston's a great place. And we got some really, really good breweries as well.
When you're not your beer, what places, if someone came there after they go drink all day at Snafu, where are they going the next day?
You know, I think one of the cool things about is we got breweries that kind of have, you know, we get pigeonholed as the sour brewery. We got Munkle, which is like the Belgian brewery. Charlestown Fermentory is holding it down with the hazy IPAs, you know. So it's kind of really, what do you want to drink? You know, what style of beer do you want?
So I know the exact number of breweries there, but do you have a sense that the scene is growing on the whole? Is it getting hit a little bit by, you know, the various pressures involved lately in beer?
You know, I think the scene as a whole is growing, and I know us, we've grown almost uncomfortably fast over the past couple of years. It's been crazy just how, you know, and during COVID and everything. So it's been a lot of growing pains and a lot of like, holy crap, going on, you know?
just run it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep up with it, right?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's like I never know what's going on. Yeah, and people ask me what beer I'm brewing next week. It's like, I don't know. Let's see how people like the beer we got coming out this week. Yeah, you know? So
see what happens with it, huh? Yeah, that's you know, you could do like a flavor wheel, just spin it and whatever comes up, put that in the sour there.
Or like various ingredient wheels and just darts at each one and see. Boom, there we go.
See what kind of beer you come up with there.
Yeah, absolutely. At Snafu, we're kind of somebody just left us a Google review, which I absolutely loved. They called us a dive brewery, which it's probably the greatest way to describe us. You know,
okay.
We're not a multi-million dollar built from the ground up facility. We are an old school, dirty 30-year-old warehouse brewery that's very unpretentious, you know. So we kind of, it kind of feels like a college dorm room inside the brewery.
With their review, did they try and say that in a negative light, but was that a positive?
No, they loved it.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say, man, because I've got a few dive bars that I just love.
I kind of like you even more. You're like, yeah, we're really just a dive bar. We're a dive brewery, like, you know, vinyl seats. And
when we first opened up in 2016, I was like, I was ashamed of our dive brewery. You know, now it's like people love it. They're like, oh, this is what a brewery is supposed to feel like. It's a big warehouse. And when you're in the tap room, you're in the brewery. You know?
See? There you go, man. Go hang out. Have a good time at your local dive brewery. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we'll be back right after this with more from Snafu Brewing Company.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Have you ever thought about owning your own brewery but don't know what it takes to get one built? We're Storytime Construction, and we build breweries. We're Georgia's most experienced and hands-on contractors when it comes to building new breweries and taprooms, or expanding existing breweries. We offer full buildouts, remodeling, and additions, as well as consulting and construction management. Give us a call at 770-733-4343. Storytime Construction. We build breweries.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences, the bomb's lost.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to Snafu Brewing Company.
Snafu Brewing, Scott Coon, Schoon, as he is known to his friends. We just opened another one of your beers here, and we have the Stoned Age, which is a fruity pebble cereal sour. Did you use the cereal in the beer?
Yeah, we actually used the cereal in it, a whole bunch of it.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a messy. Was that in the mash?
No. So again, that was kind of the same way we do the fruit, just in the tank after the beer's all cold, you know?
I got to tell you that conditioned on fruity pebbles, I love that. This was conditioned on fruity pebbles. Yes.
Very, very aristocratic.
Initially, when I started writing the beer descriptions, I used to say things like jacked full of or pumped full of. Yeah. Conditioned on sounds much more classy.
Right.
So this tastes exactly like, you know, my bowl of cereal after I've eaten all the pebbles and nothing is left in the bottom
milk.
Of it. But the beer.
Yeah.
But the beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing left in my cereal but this the beer at the end of it. Yeah, it's just like that. The way I
I forgot you're lactose intolerant.
Exactly.
Brian.
So when I was growing up, it was beer. Hey, you know what? It's the other milk. Tim.
It's what's for breakfast,
right? That's right. It is what's for breakfast.
Scott, you've got a lot of other really cool beers here that we just kind of want to talk about some of the other fun stuff you've done. And we were talking a little bit during the commercial break there, but one that I would have been stoked to try, you did a hot tamales peeps sour.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I loved that beer, and it wasn't hot at all, at least not by my standards, you know.
Yeah, just caught the cinnamon, creamy cinnamon there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
See, I'd be all about that.
So I'm just gonna, I gotta read the list.
There's your Boilermaker, Brian.
What's that?
The hot tamale Peeps.
Oh.
With a shot of Fireball in it. There's you a Boilermaker.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You get a full pint of it. Drop the Fireball in there. Oh yeah. So just for the people listening, you got to hear this: oats, lactose, strawberry, and cherry puree together. Strawberry and cherry, cinnamon, and hot tamales, marshmallow peeps. Is the way I wrote this down is misleading. Were they marshmallow peeps or were they hot tamales flavored marshmallow peeps?
And they were the hot tamale peeps.
Okay. I didn't even know those were a thing.
Yeah, recently, the last couple of years, they've just gone crazy with peeps, all kinds of flavors.
Yeah, they have like tropical mango peeps. I got so many different flavors now.
So it's like the Oreos. Everybody, they've turned all the Oreos into just anything you can think of. Oh, this is a birthday flavor cake Oreo. This is a red velvet Oreo.
Put a bird on it.
Exactly. Put just a bird a right talent. On it. Yes.
But that you said, unfortunately, people didn't go all after that when they got scared off there, huh?
Yeah, they were just scared by the name, I think.
Yeah. Would you do it again?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, everybody that drank it really enjoyed it. And actually, I tell you what, the answer is no, because doing anything with marshmallow peeps is very time consuming.
Okay. gotcha.
So
could you just puree up some and let people pour it into their beer after the fact that when they're sitting there at the bar?
Yeah, it is NutriBullet and kind of do like a rim on the glass with it.
Rimmed with peeps. Yes.
I love the idea of using a NutriBullet to do peeps. Of all the things that anybody ever thought of doing in a NutriBullet, I'm sure. Very few people thought of
it. I tell you what, our NutriBullet at work, it's worked out. That's how, you know, the recipe R&D, it's like put something in a pint glass of beer and see if it tastes good. Then put it in a keg of beer and see if it tastes good. Then put it in a 30-barrel tank of beer and see if it tastes good. So,
man, Scott, this is the best R&D process I've ever heard from a brewer.
First, you know, people get too nervous about it. It's like if it tastes good, it probably tastes good in beer, you know?
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
Yeah. You know, speaking of interesting things like that, we got to talk about one. I think it's a recent release of yours. It's called Elvis Milkshake Peanut Butter Banana Milkshake Sour. It's milkshake's in there twice. So is it a double dose of lactose in there?
No, it's just a typo on our end, probably.
Okay. So, I mean, tell us about, you just seriously thought, hey, Elvis used to eat, sandwiches with banana and peanut butter, right?
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Fried up.
You know, Maureen, our taproom manager, I think it was her idea. And when she first said it, I was like, I'm not doing that. And then I thought about it and I said, all right, we'll try that. Honestly, it's similar to something I used to do with our Shadow of Death, our Imperial Stout. So most of our pastry stouts have kind of evolved into fruited sours over the past 4 years. You
know? How did we get here?
I have no idea.
I didn't see that evolution happening. Maybe that's happening a lot of places. I didn't realize it, but yes, going from stout over to sour, like, I don't know. It makes sense now, because a lot of the same stuff is in both these days.
See, Scott, now you've got me thinking here. I want a brewery to do like both beers. I want you to do the stout and the sour with the same additions and release them together. Come to that release party.
Yeah, a two-pack.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I kind of like to mess with our customers sometimes and do things like that and see if they notice it. So at one point in time, we had a honey cream latte Shadow of Death, and then we also had, it was on our lager base, it was just honey coffee vanilla lager. Same exact treatment, two exact opposite styles of beer.
There you go, know, just, right.
Just to see what it's like, you know?
And do the stout as a white pastry stout and do the sour with some darker malt in it to give it some color, so you completely throw everybody off when they're looking at it. It's like, hold up, what is even happening here?
You're going too far, Brian.
I see.
Has science gone too far?
That's what I like to do. I like to take it where it's far enough and then take it beyond that. Yes.
Well, Scott, what is in the NutriBullet right now, man? What's in the R&D lab?
You know, so I'll kind of find flavors. Like right now, kind of on the cereal kick. So y'all drinking the Stone Age Fruity Pebble Sour. Next month, I believe we're going to have the Stone Age Cocoa Pebbles. So chocolate sour. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a dark sour, which might be a mind twist on people. And then also sticking with cereal, we had a marshmallow, which was a banana marshmallow sour. We're going to do honey nut marshmallow.
Okay.
Which I'm pretty
sounds fun to me.
A lot of cereal stuff. The Primo, the first beer you guys had, we're actually putting that one in cans. People aren't nearly as excited about it, but I'm excited about it. So,
yeah, they don't have to be. I think, didn't we get that? No, we got that in a growler, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, yeah, in a growler. Yeah. Yeah. And I do like the growlers here. I think we've seen these once before, the reusable growlers, which I think is intriguing. Now, I guess it would be single use though. You couldn't bring these back and, you know, refill them.
I think it depends on where you take it, to be honest. Would you refill one of these if someone brought, or is this a single shotter here?
It depends how well I know the person.
Okay. And just to explain to folks, this is essentially a crowler, but instead of the pop top lid, the lid, do you sell these the same way as a regular crowler machine? Do these lids like go on a crowler machine?
No, so we use them, you know, the tap room gets so busy on the weekend and just quality control issues with the seamer. You know, I don't know how many crowlers I've gotten with bad seams.
Okay.
So this is more just user friendly, quicker, you know, there's less issues with leaking.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you don't need to do maintenance on a seamer, you know,
on the seamer. Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
You know what? You got a screw top lid on top where the normal pop top lid would be. Otherwise it looks like any other crowler.
It won't keep the beer from going flat. You can't keep it for a long period of time, but you can actually seal it back up and keep bugs out of it and whatnot. So put it back in the fridge and it probably won't go as flat.
Use it as
would.
A water bottle.
You could. Yeah, you absolutely. Yeah. I don't see why not.
A
yeah.
coin bank. Throw exactly. pennies in there.
Coin bank.
Multiple uses, man. Multiple
exactly.
uses.
Exactly.
So what is something that hasn't even made it to the R&D yet that's just in your head, Scott, that you want to do?
Oh, man.
The tough question.
Yeah, it is a tough question. Well, we're doing a lot of Italian ice stuff with actual like Italian ice in it. So it kind of, that's the next stream of conscious stuff that we'll be doing. Yeah, I don't know. Most of what we do, it's just a progression of what we've already done. You know, okay. It's like, as far as the creative process goes, nothing exists in a vacuum. It's like, it's just kind of a progression. You know what I mean?
Exactly. How about going down a different aisle of the grocery store, go back to Goes, get you some Bugles, and make a Bugles
Goza. Did you say Goes?
Goza. Did I say Goes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Goza is what I meant. Yes, I was saying he goes down that aisle, not go. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
goes down that aisle, yeah.
It goes back to
that's
Goes.
That's a big part of the process, and just walking around the grocery store and seeing what they get. Pop-Tarts. You know,
okay,
I mean,
yep.
I'm wondering if the chip and various snack would work well in the Goza style because, well, a little salt going on there. It'll be a little sweetness.
Yeah. Depends on what you've got there.
Like the Bugles goes, I'd give it a shot. You know,
you try it out.
Yeah.
Crazy. Scott, thanks for joining us, man. Been real fun chatting with you just about some adventurous beers here and drinking your beers. Very good time. If people want to know more about what's going on with Snafu Brewing, what's the best way for them to do that?
Instagram would be the best way. Instagram, Facebook, and the website.
Good enough. Awesome. Scott, thanks again, man. We really appreciate you joining us.
I really appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Join us next week. Our friends from Nappy Roots at Lantucky Brewing are going to be here to chat with us. The brewery's open now, Brian.
It is, yes.
So we're going to talk with them. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you need more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.